Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Friday, July 5th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Haines and Skagway should be in the same election district as Juneau. The capital city's Mendenhall Valley wants to stay on its own. Petersburg doesn't want to be split up. And the whole redistricting process has been a boondoggle. That's what some Southeast Alaska residents, plus a few others, told the Alaska Redistricting Board during a hearing Tuesday at the Capitol. A dozen and a half redistricting plans, some from the boards and others from communities, corporations, and political groups, are at issue. It's part of the process of redrawing election district lines under orders from the Alaska Supreme Court. Here are some of those comments, beginning with Juneau's Paulette Simpson. She supports keeping downtown Juneau and Douglas Island aligned with Skagway.
It seems that there were many tourism connections that we shared with Skagway that made it quite easy for us to merge with Skagway. And I suspect that similar tourism connections exist with Haines as well.
Tom Boutin, I live here in Juneau. Just want to urge you to continue to keep the Mendenhall Valley contiguous and compact. Blue-collar workers, the mines, the year-round high-wage jobs that the valley has is different than any other part of Southeast, you know, since we don't have the pulp mills or anything anymore.
My name is Robert Venables, and I'm located here in Haines, Alaska. It's given us some assurance to see how well Skagway had worked with the downtown delegation this past year, and I think one of the most important things for our community here in Haines is that we be in the same district as our neighbors, Skagway and even Gustavus. I think Douglas kind of helps identify some folks with in that small town feeling.
It's Kathy Rear. I'm a borough clerk for Petersburg Borough. We do want to make sure that the board understands that we are completely against any of the plans that would separate our borough in any sections, which that would be the AFR plan and the board plan F.
My name is Linda Adams, and I live in Ketchikan. I feel that Ketchikan in the new configuration would make a cohesive District 33 and continue to be aligned with Wrangell and could work well with Metlakatla, as we have a close proximity and distance, and the inclusion of Kaufman Cove on Prince of Wales have the same issues.
I'm John Boyle. I'm here representing the mayor of the North Slope Borough. A recent decision by the Supreme Court of the United States on the Voting Rights Act has generated a great deal of public attention. Although the Alaska Redistricting Board may now avoid the process of preclearance from the U.S. Department of Justice, we strongly urge the board to continue its policy of drawing districts that do not diminish the voting protections of Alaska Natives.
My name is Dave Terrio, and I'm the legislative director for Alaska Conservation Voters. It's hard to provide testimony without acknowledging the board's failure to create a constitutional map for the last election cycle. We now have lawmakers down in Juneau who are elected on legal lines, and these lines matter. There are a number of close races in the last elections, and there are a lot of close votes this past session.
This is Kathleen Minky in Haines. There are too many maps. I think we're up to 17 now. They're too hard to download and decipher in a timely manner for these hearings. I really don't think the board is doing its job to present a fair and balanced and constitutional plans to the public, nor is the board giving the public adequate time to understand the plans and to testify.
My name is Margot Waring. Having hearings in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau is really inadequate. I believe that there should be hearings in each of the senatorial districts, and that a presentation should be made in each of those districts.
That's what some Alaskans had to say to the Alaska Redistricting Board during a hearing Monday in Juneau. The session followed meetings in Anchorage and Fairbanks. The board's next step is to choose a plan or create a new one for use in the 2014 elections. Southeast's Regional Native Corporation is out of the plastics business. Sea Alaska sold its shares of factories in Alabama, Iowa, and Guadalajara, Mexico on Monday. NIPRO Incorporated bought out Sea Alaska's share of their NIPRO Canuck partnership. The purchase price was not revealed. President and CEO Chris McNeil Jr. says it's part of a larger effort to narrow investments.
This particular operations has had a spotty performance over the years, but now all three operations have been profitable. When you have a company that has increasing profitability, that's generally a time to sell if you have the opportunity to sell.
Nipro was recently purchased by Jabil, a huge multinational corporation with 60 plants in 33 countries. McNeil says that was also a factor in the sale. He says a few tribal members interned at Nipro, but the factories were too far away to benefit most shareholders. Sea Alaska's board and management are considering new areas of investment in Alaska and the Pacific Northwest, where most of its 22,000 shareholders live.
We're also looking for something that is more consonant with our native values, including the concept of sustainability.
Sea Alaska sold its global logistics subsidiary earlier this year, giving the same reasons. McNeil says the corporation has not chosen a company or industry to replace the plastics business. He says the sale will not have a large financial impact on shareholders' dividends.
This will become less gross revenues, but of course the revenue and income from the sale itself earns income during the time at which we're holding the money for reinvestment.
Sea Alaska's plastics venture began in the late 1990s with a subsidiary called TriQuest Precision Plastics, which had a plant in Vancouver, Washington. Changes in the market led the factory to close. Sea Alaska then combined assets with Nipro to form the partnership. It made bleach containers, filtered water bottles, and other products. A court-martial is scheduled for Saturday in Juneau for a U.S. Coast Guard guardsman accused of making false official statements and for crimes related to child pornography. Petty Officer 2nd Class James M. Grover, who is stationed at Air Station Sitka, is charged with 9 counts of violating the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Coast Guard spokesman Kip Wadlow says 3 of those counts relate to making false official statements. 6 involve child pornography, negligent endangerment of a child, conduct prejudicial to good order and discipline and service discrediting conduct. Wadlow says Grover faces a possibility of dishonorable discharge plus up to 15 years of confinement. A U.S. Army unit came to Sitka this week to destroy some dynamite found in the garage of an 83-year-old man who died earlier this year. The Sitka Fire Department heard on Saturday about 4 dozen sticks of dynamite in an unlabeled cardboard box. Sitka Police Lieutenant Barry Allen says they didn't touch or move the explosives and consulted with the state and federal authorities. Fire Chief Dave Miller says they were concerned that the dynamite was sweating nitroglycerin, which makes it unstable. The Army's 716th Explosive Ordnance Disposal Company in Anchorage traveled to Sitka on Tuesday to dispose of the explosives by blowing them up in a pit. Miller says there was a loud woof followed by a smoke cloud about 40 feet high. The U.S. Coast Guard has terminated the voyages of 5 commercial fishing vessels for safety violations, sending 5 vessels back to Petersburg. Coast Guard teams boarded the commercial fishing vessels and found safety violations. Crews on 5 vessels were told to correct the deficiencies and have a Coast Guard examiner clear the offenses before they were permitted to leave port and resume fishing. Among the violations were a lack of immersion suits, survival craft or life rings, expired flares, and expired fire extinguishers. One of Alaska's main Independence Day events brought thousands of people to Seward for a race up a 3,022-foot peak. The mountain marathon race has been a tradition since 1915. There's nothing else like scramble over rocks and tricky terrain, says Flip Folger, a race committee member. This year, the race has undergone a few changes since 65-year-old Anchorage runner Michael LeMaitre was reported missing during the 2012 race. Almost a year later, there is still no trace of LeMaitre. For the 2013 event, runners had to sign a statement saying they've completed the race course before. Senior racers also have to get to the halfway point in less than 60 minutes, or they will be disqualified and sent back down the mountain. Race officials say there was fencing and signs at the top of the cliffs, an area where authorities say LeMaitre may have gotten disoriented and descended the far side of the mountain. Volunteers will also do sweeps of the mountain looking for runners, and more people will be monitoring the course during the race. The city of Fairbanks would see penalties for littering drop to $250 and a citation under a proposed change to the law from Mayor Jerry Clayworth. The change would make the penalty more like a traffic ticket and less like a criminal offense. Clayworth said he proposed the change to save time for both the city and people cited for littering. Current law demands a court summons and a court appointments to prosecute someone for littering. The current penalty is up to a $450 fine and up to 40 hours community service picking up trash. The city doesn't issue many littering offenses. Clayworth says the city would not change its practice of warning people before citing them for littering under the new system. Infrared flights have shown that a fire south of Two Rivers is nearly half the size previously believed because the fire is burning in fingers instead of one solid block. Fire information spokeswoman Mary Huell said the Stewart Creek 2 fire burning near the non-populated areas is burning on about 30,000 acres or about 46 square miles. Huell says firefighters were unable to get a flight above the fire until late Wednesday. Fire officials are still cautioning residents that an evacuation could be ordered, while cooler temperatures and lighter winds were expected to help firefighters control the blaze. The Alaska Interagency Coordination Center issued the watch for those living from mile 14 to mile 32 of Chena Hot Springs Road. Smoke jumpers, retardant tankers, and water scooping aircraft are being used to fight the Stewart Creek wildfire. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here's a look at Sitka Zone weather. It's currently 55 degrees downtown Sitka under overcast skies. And today it's going to be cloudy with patchy fog in the morning, scattered showers, highs around 63. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers, patchy fog late, lows around 54. Saturday, cloudy, scattered showers, highs around 63. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, highs 58 to 64. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.